In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
How would you like to know what a former cultured jihadist thinks about Hillary Clinton or the Democrat Party? Think about that for a moment. America is under attack by Islam. Notice that I did not say radical Islam. America is under attack by Islam because America's rights and freedoms and our republic is the antithesis, the opposite of Islam. So who better to ask about Hillary and the Democrats than a former cultural jihadist? And we'll ask about some of her plans. Because remember, so much of Islam is about deception. So what is she really trying to do, despite her words? Today's show is part two of our interview with Kamal Saleem, which we were going to do a couple of weeks back, but wires were crossed. But that's okay. If we had interviewed him back then, we wouldn't have thought to ask about Hillary or the Democrats. I guess you could just say it was meant to be. Since we last talked to Kamal, it's not like there haven't been any terrorist attacks. We'll ask him about current events. The Nice attack, of course, but also more recent terrorist attacks. These have had nothing to do with guns or bombs. It's been a truck, knives, axes. Does this all represent a change in tactics? And why? But the main focus of today is to ask him how moderate Islamists are radicalized. We'll find out the steps cultural jihadists use to radicalize so-called moderate Muslims. I say so-called because so much of what is considered radical is actually part of the faith of Islam. Also on today's show, we'll have advice for individuals, advice for business owners and community leaders. Refugees are being settled here in Oregon and all across the U.S. What should you do if one of them is pushed into your neighborhood? What if you're a business owner or school where Muslims want special treatment and accommodations? And then there's the Democrats. You'll hear what a former cultured jihadist thinks about the Democrat Party and whether they've been infiltrated by jihadists, and including how far up it goes. I'd like to welcome back Kamal Saleem. He is president of Qum Ministries. He is a former cultural jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood. He had come to America to destroy it from within, but after an accident changed his life, he converted to Christianity and now works to expose the dangers of Islam and to bring Muslims to the freedom and liberty of Jesus Christ. Kamal, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. It's awesome being with you. Thank you for what you do for our nation.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And let's talk about some of the current terror events here to get your reactions, not only to the events themselves, but the implications behind them. Since we last talked to you, we had the horrific attack there in Nice, where a man used a truck to kill more than 80 people, injured another 200. Does it surprise you that we're not seeing more of these styles of attacks using trucks or other vehicles as weapons?
Well, what's happening here, it is the reason why we're seeing what's happening in Europe is because this influx of immigration. So therefore now these are coming in without, these people never had the chance to assimilate to the culture. So therefore they are forcing the culture. And what we're seeing today in Europe, it is just the beginning.
Hmm. Oh, I absolutely agree that. I agree with that. But given as many Muslim refugees, how many of them have poured into the EU, and certainly if the Syrian refugees have been infiltrated as much as some security experts have warned, it almost feels like there ought to be more attacks happening. Are they waiting for some sort of day of rage, or why aren't we seeing more attacks in general?
Well, here's what's happening. Since all these attacks, EU is starting to be a sovereign nation and trying to stand on its own two feet, not legs, because the legs belong to the Roman Empire before them. Mm. And so now they are picking up from what we're seeing today in the dream of Daniel, the steel, leftover steel from the Roman Empire. And with this invasion of Hujra, which is Islamic immigration, that is bringing the two Babylonian system, the mix of the clay and the mix of the steel together. And so what's happening, they need these Middle Eastern because they don't have enough birth in Europe, so the family is shrinking, and for any civilization to withstand itself, it has to birth 2.11%. And in Europe, it differs. Let's take France, the birth rate over there. The French are at 1.8%, while the Muslim at 8.1%.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So it's going crazy, out of order.
As they're ushering in all of these refugees to replace those, the population, they're not replacing themselves. We are seeing, again, just some more horrific events over there. Most recently, now the death of that priest in France. I mean, it's just absolutely horrific how that unfolded. And ISIS now seems focused on churches. If so, what's the larger strategy there by attacking and going after churches?
Well, what they're trying to do in Islam, since when a nation... when a nation does not have Islam as the stronghold, as Islam ruling a factor, that nation is rebellious into the Islamic order, because these nations were found by the cross, or crusader, or by a false religion other than Islam. So therefore, according to Islam, must be destroyed. But in Islam, in order to create this, they must create what's so-called intifada. Intifada in itself, you see that what happened in Gaza strips after Israel handed over the Palestinian state to live sovereignly. Now they want the rest of Israel fighting from the place that they were given to them. When we look at Islam in Europe, when they're doing what's so called intifada, they're trying to create the Great Awakening. And the Great Awakening to create a revolution within Europe, that this volcanic activity will not stop, but it'll carry on to create, masses of terrorism throughout Europe. And this is an act of rebelliousness against the power that brought them in as refugees and as immigrants to take care of them. So therefore, what happened, and they see this as these Western civilizations are founded by the cross. And so therefore Christianity could not be above, because Islam has to replace Christianity. And so therefore they create this intifada to new level. And now other Muslims that want to be radical, they become lone wolf, and they want to give their loyalty to the Islamic State or to Al-Qaeda or to Al-Shabaab or to Boko Haram, just what happened in Florida. Just, these made their loyalty to ISIS as they were killing people. He said, I made my loyalty, I swore to ISIS, and now I'm doing this in the name of Allah. We are under war with Islamists. Islamists has declared war against the Western civilization.
So it sounds to me like what you're saying is they're not there just to inspire terror, but to inspire other attacks and to really kind of... get the other Islamists there to rise up. Is that what you're saying?
That's absolutely right, because intifada means a rise up. Huh. And so when they cause intifada, is to cause, sometimes I think my listeners understand what I'm saying when I say intifada, it's a rise up, so it's a revolution basically, and it's a revolution against systems, yes.
Wow. Okay, let's go and take a break. Lots more with Kamal Saleem after this. And welcome back. This is part two of our earlier show. That's show number 628, if you want to find that in our archives. We're talking about the growing threat of ISIS, both here and abroad. In this show, we're talking about how moderate Muslims are radicalized, and we'll also be getting advice for individuals and community leaders on dealing with Muslims. Refugees are being forced on communities all across the nation and right here in Oregon as well, where we broadcast from. However, we are talking about some current events first with Kamal Saleem. He's the president of Qum Ministries, and link that up on iSpyRadio.com. So we were talking in the first segment there about the refugee crisis there in Europe, and also some of these more recent attacks. Interestingly, Germany has also come under assault, although instead of guns and bombs, the recent attacks have been more axes and knives and hacking people to death. Are they trying to make these attacks even more bloody to incite those who may become radicalized, or is it just to get news coverage?
Well, it is both. The truth is, it is both. As I said, intifada is is the Great Awakening, you know, to wake up the Muslim that they are sleepers, you know, to instill, implement fear and subjugation into the heart of the civilization. And by doing so, they bring them to bring truth with them or to bring peace with them. Ultimately, that's what they're leading for. But when you see what's happening in Germany, Germany will be the heart of power in the EU, and Germany will have the greatest military force over there. And so therefore, we're going to see the Islamists turning there, you know, and facing Germany more so than ever before, especially now that we have over 1 million refugees just walked into, you know, Germany.
Hmm. So as you look back at your involvement in the movement back in the 1980s there, is what we're seeing in Europe the fruit of the seeds of cultural jihadists, that cultural jihadist sowed in the 1980s, or are these kinds of attacks sort of a new tactic? Because, you know, this notion of actual killings versus trying to spread Islam and gain new followers.
Yes, to all what you said, and here's why. When we look at Egypt prior to Islam, Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, you know, these nations were Christian nations. They were not, you know, Muslim nations. So what happened, the Muslims start becoming as refugees, and then sooner or later they start causing issues. And by clashing with the culture, Islam came to support them, and now they invaded the culture, you know, in the name of, like, you're coming against our people over there, the minority, and they came as refugees. And so therefore they took the nation, one nation after the other, by the sword. So first they instill fear. The second part is they establish Islamic, you know, political Islam. The third part is they try to be part of the ruling. The fourth part is to take over the nation.
Hmm. Among the latest threats there by ISIS is the notion that London and Washington, D.C. are next on their list. And I imagine that the U.S. must probably be the biggest prize in that it is seen both as a Christian nation, it was founded on Christian values, and also a fully democratic nation. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe, you know, if they can do something great against the United States or the U.K. right now, they would have done it. But they are in a place that they are in hiding because the military services, the Secret Service, all these are involved in the United States of America, from the NSA to Homeland Security. They are really looking for, they don't want those radical like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, like Boko Haram, like Al-Shabaab, Al-Nusra. They don't want them to do their jihad. And why they don't want them to do the jihad? Because political Islam is doing a greater jihad, like United States of America. And so therefore, the Islamists themselves in the United States of America, those political Islam that they're hiding, they are in their self turning this nation around to say that these people are not us and us not them. So therefore separating those that they led by the sword are the radical, but the political Islam, the radical Islam that they only change in our culture by politics and pressuring our culture in different way, they say we are none of them. And so therefore these people are helping our government, the UK and the United States of America, so that Islam can grow naturally and become part of the civilization and shoot branches into our system and into our society to the point that our culture could not differentiate that Islam was here all the time and our life is part of Islam and Islam is part of our life. And that is the greater terrorism that we need to be aware of. But nevertheless, I believe ISIS is brewing a storm to take place because they want to set their names against, set their history, their name in history against the biggest nation on earth, which is the United States of America. I fear for, you know, EMP, or I fear for, yes, you know, I fear for other things, you know, like nuclear, you know, electric, you know, station, to do something on a big scale, because right now our borders are open and our, you know, our airports are open and our refugees are coming in, and God help us with this new election because we will have 750,000 more refugees.
Yes. Yeah. We definitely want to get your thoughts on on that in a later segment. But that's interesting what you said there, that political terrorism is more effective right now than what is normally seen as terrorism. Let's go ahead and take a break a little bit early here. Coming up, we're going to be talking about how moderates are radicalized. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. We're talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is president of Koome Ministry. That's K-O-O-M-E Ministries.com if you want to go visit them. And, of course, we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. He is a former cultural jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood who had come to America to destroy it from within. But he is now trying to expose the dangers of radical Islam. And so that's really what we want to talk to you about in this segment here, is how moderates become radicalized. So walk us through that process. What are the steps that you as a cultural jihadist would have gone through to convert a moderate Muslim to radical ones?
It's really vast. It's so big. For example, at the mosques, we always look for those that they are isolated, those that they are weak, those that they have no friends, those who come by themselves and leave by themselves. And also our concentration, you know, as an Islamist before I came to Christ, was on the youth, because the youth have not made up their mind, that they're confused about all that is taking place. The first strategy is really tell them we are not radical. We don't believe in radicalism. We don't believe in terrorism. This is not about us. You know, Islam is a liberating belief and religion. So therefore, when you put that in their understanding, they are a total peace, and now they are following you. And the next part, you befriend them, and that through that friendship, you reveal to them that Islam believe, you know, specifically, you know, we believe in separation, you know, between men and women. We believe in the separation between, you know, Christians and Muslims. We believe in the separation, you know, we believe in, you know, everything that Allah, you know, said in the Quran, and everything Muhammad commanded in the Quran. If Allah said this is how it has to be done, and He is God of heaven and earth, and Islam is the final religion, then Allah is the truth. So therefore, what happened is the radicalism is already in the Quran, is in the Hadith, is in the Seerah. So therefore, when you talk about Muhammad, you know, biography or his traditions or Allah, you know, word that was given, you know, to Muhammad by an angel of light, what happened when you look at it, these Muslims, they start getting radicalized. And the next things, you take them from the Quran, you take them to the Hadith, the traditions, which is, you know, jihad is prescribed. Jihad is the power that accelerated Islam. And you start them in their sphere of influence, how to implement jihad and how to affect jihad, starting in their home. And then from there, in their ability and their strength. This is only in a mosque, you know, but then you have the poor neighborhood. The poor neighborhood is when you start giving free food, and now people trust you, and now you are enrolling their children in your school, and employing their children at your businesses, and now little by little you're converting, you're shifting their children from, you know, and you take that anger that they have against the culture, and you feed it with more fuel. So therefore, what happened is they naturally become angry and jihadist. They want to hurt somebody. They want to kill somebody. Just like what we saw the last two attacks on the police in the United States of America. These two black American, unfortunately, converted to Islam. They were part of the, Islamic Society of North America. They're part of this, and they were radicalized to do what they did. So therefore, this is then the jail system. Then it goes to the colleges and universities. Then it goes to the professors. It moves into every level of our life, you know. So basically, the computer is it's one of the biggest, because they have all those websites, you know, to say, you know, to clarify things to the young Muslims. And as the Muslims step into them, they start, you know, they start recruiting them and convert them and meeting with them. And then another website, which is Islamic marriage website, this is where the biggest recruitment takes place. That's when they get the moderate American, you know, Muslim, and they put him with a radical female Muslim. And now she starts, you know, telling him, what's her heart desire of her man, you know, just like Muhammad and this and that. And little by little will shift. This is what happened in San Bernardino. And this is exactly the woman, what happened. She used her influence to bring this moderate man to become radical. So there are many different ways, and all of it is happening here in our nations. The mosques in the United States of America, they are number one recruiting places. According to the FBI, over 84% of American mosques, they you know, including radicalism and radicalizing their own people. We see what happened in Germany and what's happening in France in all this radicalism attacks. We see the French government shutting over 2,000 mosques. The German government shut over 300 mosques. And they go in there, they found in bombs, they found in, you know, a weapon, they found in, you know, they finding, you know, all articles of terrorism in the mosque, including, you know, workbooks, how to work with the jihad, how to, you know, radicalize somebody. These are happening in the United States of America. And unfortunately, you know, this election could take our shift, our nation to one extreme versus the other extreme if we don't vote for the right person.
So it sounds like the first step is that you identify a potential target for radicalization because they're either isolated, they're poor, they're angry, and so on and so forth. And then it's your job to then start stoking those fires, to feed their anger, essentially. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, that's number one. Number two, it is to bring them to let them know that Islam believe in all these things. You know, these are part of our belief. So therefore, they find themselves that this is what Allah wants us to do. That's what Muhammad wants us to do. This is the Islamic core. Yeah. So therefore, they found like, wow, that's a jihad action. And then the third part, he lead them into like, you know, it is our duty to be involved in jihad and step to the forefront.
Wow. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. I want to continue this conversation after this break. I'm more with Kamal Saleem after this. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is part two of our earlier show with Kamal Saleem. That earlier show was 628, if you'd like to go find that on our archives. And we're talking about the growing threat of ISIS here and abroad. In this show, we're talking more about how moderate Muslims are radicalized and also later getting some advice for individuals and community leaders on how to deal with Muslims in your neighborhoods. So during the break there, we had some fascinating discussions. One of the things that it sounds like, you know, as we're walking through this process of how moderates are radicalized, it sounds to me like one of the things that you as a cultural jihadist are doing, there's a winnowing effect where you're not just identifying people that might be radicalized, but you're also identifying the different roles and responsibilities that they can then be best used for. For example, this one might be really good in politics. This one might be another one that may want to further cultural jihad. And then there's these other smaller categories that might be good for use for terrorism because they have so much innate hatred within themselves that they become willing to kill. Am I summing that up correctly?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And when you look at all these together that you just mentioned, all of them come to the spirit of jihad, you know, which is the Quran says, you know, a jihadist was prescribed to all Muslims, even until the last days, you know, judgment days of Allah. So therefore, there are promises when you go into those, because now you are serving in the way of Allah. And so you are the James Bond, if you are into, you know, the James Bond of your culture to go into a political arena or military installation or what so have you. Just like when we saw this, you know, the IT guy, he's a Muslim, you know, last year, and he was stealing secrets from United States of America and giving them to the Muslims, telling them what the Americans are doing. And so therefore, we see all this. So basically, it is your right to infiltrate and destroy.
Wow. One of the things that we hear about, too, is this notion that people are self-radicalized. And so how does somebody that is becoming self-radicalized, how do they then go about it? I mean, what are the next steps? I can't imagine that they just pick up the phone and call their local mosque and say, hey, I want to be a radical Islam, a Muslim. How do those steps proceed?
This is the question for 2016, you know, and we've been talking about, you know, lone wolf. A lone wolf is a man that he is living in, you know, non-Islamic nations, like just in the United States of America. Number two, this man is involved in many different things, many different sinful things, and he has iniquities. So therefore, whether he's, you know, involved in homosexuality or he's involved in, you know, eating, you know, pork and drinking alcohol and doing, you know, foul things, you know, involved in childhood, you know, I mean, children, you know, sex or whatever, or, you know, whatever. You come and you are looking for salvation. And so your curiosity, you want to be a good Muslim. And what happened is they go into the computer and they're reading and learning everything about their brother, you know, in the move of God, of Allah, just like, you know, what Islam teaches, you know, like for example, in the Quran, there's over 164 verses prescribe, you know, jihad, and one third of Sharia law, all of it is, you know, one third is jihad too. So the only way Allah can really forgive you is to repent and never go back and to your sin, and that's impossible for addict. So the only way they can turn into to cleanse their blood by offering their blood as sacrifice. So therefore they start communicating with these people, and these people start, you know, bringing people to speak to them, you know, they teach them to go and buy a phone that is not, you know, with any, you know, like AT&T, Verizon, you know, what so have you. It's just, you know, like one of those over-the-counter, you know, bought phone, or they mail them a phone, and they start talking to them, and they start finding more about them. And they send to them, you know, they link them into a place, you know, it's the way it's done through these jihadis is they send an email system, whether on Google, whether on Yahoo or whatever it may be. So all of them have the same password, and they go to a room, and what they do when they communicate to each other, they write and they save it as into the archive instead of sending it over the website, you know. So therefore the other person will come and take it out of the archive and then reads it and make his thoughts and put it back, and now they are talking back and forth, and the brainwash take place. And now this man is ready to kill himself, and they swear to him. They walk him through the whole process of how to shave his entire body and make himself sanctified and holy. And the next thing is to go kill and be killed. So therefore, he will make it to paradise.
Wow. You know, that reminds me of something from one of our earlier interviews with you that I had never heard of before, is that when you have these martyrs, and because I was listening to you describe your own family life and that your mother was the one that encouraged you, and I thought, how could any mother do that? But what you said that was so interesting to me was this notion that when a Muslim becomes a martyr, he actually ushers in all of his entire family. Am I remembering that correctly?
70 of his immediate family will go to paradise, go to heaven with him, you know, without judgment. That is a promise, you know, by Muhammad. That is in the teaching of the traditions of Muhammad by Bukhari or Muslim, you know, which is the highest, most credible, the most credible, you know, two traditions by these two men. And what happened is when a Muslim died and the martyrdom, first drop of his blood is to free 70 of his immediate family. 70 people will go to heaven without judgment because his blood became a sanctification for them to set them free. And now they are celebrating. For example, Im Hazam, you know, in Gaza, you know, she is a Palestinian. She had 10 children. All of them, one after the other, died in jihad. And when they were interviewing her, they said, "Are you sad about what happened to your children?" She said, "I wish I had more children to give, because this is for the glory of Allah, and one day I will sit with Allah because of I've given my children." You know, and so it's a gift. She's given her children as a gift, the blood offering to Allah, so Allah can make a place for her and her entire family.
Wow. Wow. What a stark contrast to Christianity. We are up against the clock. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be getting some advice for individuals and community leaders. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today about the spread of ISIS and its growing threat both here and abroad. And we're talking with Kamal Saleem. He is president of Qum Ministries. He is a former cultural jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood. In the last segment there, we were talking about how moderates are radicalized. And so I'd really like to get some advice for individuals and community leaders on how to deal with Muslims. Here in Oregon, we have a governor who is happily settling Syrian refugees and, in fact, wants to expand it. This is also happening in other areas. So first, what advice would you give to individuals who have a refugee dropped into their neighborhood?
Well, let's look at what God says, and let's look at what statistics says. You know, because we got to have a measuring stick in here. Number one, the Pew reporting says, you know, when a Muslim move into any nation as refugees, you know, we have 2 years open window to reach them. Hmm. So, and we got to be aggressive in reaching them. What is that aggressive? Just as a father would love his son or his daughter, you know, to save their life from falling into the pit. You know, so therefore, you know, we got to reveal to them that the Christianity, you know, that you are Christian. Never hide your Christianity. Never be ashamed about your Christianity. Because there's a lot of people don't know, you know, they don't want to tell the Muslim until later on, well, I'm Christian. This is will be found in the Muslim book as a deception. And they've been deceived so for so many years, they go just go like another Christian trying to deceive me. They respect somebody who's straight shooter up front. Number two, engage with them. Don't be afraid of them. You see, the teaching of Islam says when your enemy is afraid of you, then Allah has given you the upper hand and has given you the victory. When the enemy is not afraid of you, then you are subject to them already. So these are rules of law, of laws and war in the Muslim world. Mm. Number three, break bread with them. Start establishing a friendship with them. Number four, start praying with them. Prayer are so powerful. Our God loves to show off when we pray for people, especially when they are non-believers. He shows up right away, and he makes a difference right away. And we've seen that many times. This lady, you know, brought her son. You know, I was in Phoenix, Arizona, speaking. She said, "If God really truly healed you, and you truly have an encounter with God, my son was born deaf, you know, can you heal him?" I said, "I can't heal him, but God can heal him." And the only thing I knew that came in my understanding, I put my fingers in my mouth, you know, and I stuck them in his ears, and I spoke with a loud voice, "Lord, you heard the cries of Ishmael, and your name is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who hears. So now I bring you Ahmed, and I pray, Abba Father, that according to your name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healed, that you heal Ahmed and show that Jesus Christ is Lord who healed the dead, who healed the sick." And I took my fingers out of his ears, and I knew with all confidence, you know, as the over, you know, that we had over 3,000 people at that day, you know, they're watching on camera. You know, in a sanctuary, and when I moved my finger out of his ear, I said to his mom, "Speak to him," and she starts speaking to him, and he starts signing to her that I hear everything you're saying, but he doesn't know how to speak. He starts, you know, just shouting, starts screaming with a loud voice. You know, he can hear, and the next thing, his mother said, "Oh, your God is a true living God." You know, I said, "My God is the only living God, because there's no other God that heals, but my God is the one came to heal us." And so therefore the whole church became undone, you know, and so miracles are happening for those, they stand in God in the purity of heart and believe the word of God is true.
Hmm.
So the relationship with them is mandatory. And when you pray for them, it is very effectual because God is very effectual. And last but not least, is start inviting them to your church and to be friend with them. Start helping them. If they need furniture, give them furniture. If they need food, bring them food. If they need to go to the supermarket, take them to the supermarket. If they need financial aid, whatever, just stand with them because our God has done for us individually. And when we do this for them, the blessing of God are upon us because God is faithful. He is a provider, his name is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. So anyhow, these are very important that when we engage the Muslims is to engage them in spirit and in truth, to pray for them and love them. Pray for them and love them,
Well, I certainly see what you're saying there, especially as exhibited by your own experiences where you were welcomed by Christians and by Jews, and how that led you to your love of Christ now. So I think that's great in terms of essentially don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid of them, but instead just do the Christian response. Be a witness for them and let your deeds reflect the love of Christ. We only have about a couple minutes here with you in this segment. What advice would you give to businesses and or managers who have Muslim workers who start making demands for special treatments?
Oh, if they start giving demand for a special treatment, you have the right to say no. You can go somewhere else and find a job somewhere else, because this is the treatment. This is the way to infiltrate our culture and bring about Islamization, whether we like it or not. Just like Home Depot. Home Depot today, they are making all the changes to accommodate Islam. Slaughterhouses around the United States of America, they have. Universities, they have. They're opening washrooms, they prayer rooms, and some universities have menorah. One of them was a church, where they rang the bell. The Muslims start going up there to the menorah and start declaring Allahu Akbar, one of the Ivy League universities. And so when we look at all this, we got to say to them, no. Because, this is, when we say no, this is an authority that we let them know. You can either go find job somewhere else or work here and be happy. Otherwise, they will, if you give them one, you will have to give them more and more and more. And sooner or later, you're a subject to them.
Yeah. And so it sounds then like that would be your advice to community leaders or school boards as well. Just say no.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Schools are, especially schools.
Okay. All right. We do need to take a break. Everyone, stay with us. We'll be wrapping things up with Kamal Saleem, talking to him about the Democrats and the DNC. And welcome back. We're in our final segment now with Kamal Saleem, although we will definitely be having him back on for a future show later this fall, especially as the elections get nearer. And speaking of elections, I want to talk to you about the Democrats and the DNC convention that just wrapped up. And, it's interesting as I watch them, and among the many chants that you hear from Islamists include death to America, death to Israel, but you also hear death to democracy because democracy is the antithesis to Islam.
That's right.
How ironic, then, that the Democrat Party has come to embrace a culture that is actually the opposite of democracy.
You're absolutely right. When we look at the, when we spoke at the beginning, we talked about the isms God, whether it's socialism or liberalism or secularism or Islamism or fascism or Nazism or, all these are isms and like they have the same theology, the same power, the same father, which is, I believe he's a destructive father, demonic power. And so therefore, when we look at all this, last election in the DNC, they said, we don't want God. Everybody was screaming against, we don't want God. This one here is no difference. They don't want just democracy because democracy in the understanding of Islam, it is slavery. And it's a law of Sodom and Gomorrah, democracy. That's how they see it. So every freedom, everything that we have as liberty, pursuit of happiness, freedom of speech, freedom of understanding, freedom of women, all these are into Islam. It is anti, Islam is against all those beliefs and must destroy the culture. But when you look at the DNC today, the American flag is not visible. You have pictures of them, but God is not visible. Nobody's talking about God. The other thing is they're not talking about the radicalism or Islamism or, you know, terrorism, you know, many of the things that it should be shared about, because this is what the world is facing today, they are not talking about this. They're talking about how they're going to destroy the Republican they're going to destroy Christianity, just as Hillary Clinton swore that when she become president, she will bring the Christian subjugated. She will bring them subject to the government, and they will have to change their doctrine so the government can tell them how to worship.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think anybody in the DNC, you know, there's been all the all over the news this week about the WikiLeaks and their involvement and support of Hillary, even though they weren't supposed to be. Do you think anyone in the DNC, let me ask that a different way. Do you think the DNC has been infiltrated by Muslim extremists and cultural jihadists?
Well, yes, and why we know that, you know, when we see the hundreds of millions of dollars that came from the Middle East, from the government countries, and from, you know, from Islamic countries throughout the world and Islamic corporations, it is, you know, today their net worth is over $100 million, you know. So when you look at all this, you see, the Muslim want into the United States of America, so therefore they are reaching to the isms, you know, the socialist or the secularist or liberalist, and so therefore they are trying to make unholy alliances with them to defeat this culture.
Hmm. You've mentioned to me off air that Hillary has said that essentially the Christians must be brought under subjugation, and you mentioned UN Bill 1618. I don't think that I had heard much of that before. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and her support for that?
Yes, we get to understand that the right hand woman, Hillary Clinton, that is her strength, her right arm, is her name is Huma Abedin. Who is Huma Abedin? Huma Abedin's father, he is sent by the Saudi government to establish Islamic civilization into Western civilization. And he's an employee of the Saudi royal family that they are giving him finances to accomplish his business. And he has an organization in the United States of America. Number two, her mother sits on the Muslim Brotherhood, which is declared by the UK, by Saudi, by Egypt, and several other nations, UAE, United Arab Emirates, as a terrorist organization, her mother and her brother, too. He is one of those. And so, therefore, when you look at all this, you know, her brother sits on the OIC organization, Islamic Conference. These are 57 Islamic nations on earth, what happened, controlling the UN. And so, therefore, the UN put the bill, UN 1618, to anyone who talks against Islam to be subjugated, penalized, a financial penalty, and to be sent to jail. So this is practiced in Europe now, in the EU. They have implemented it. You know, and so what happened is, when it takes place in here now, no people can speak against the Muslim, and the Muslim will be able to establish Sharia law. Mm-hmm. I believe, you know, the OIC had met with Hillary several times once she was under Obama, and they want to bring the UN 1618. I believe this time she can put it as an executive order and, you know, and force the culture to abide in it, or you're fighting the UN and fighting the United States of America. I believe she will bring America subject to the UN because she will not, you know, because she want to break the military rank and, you know, make our military weaker than Obama did.
Yeah. Well, there is certainly no doubt that if Hillary gets into office, that we will see a huge increase in refugees and also this expansion, like you say, of UN Bill 1618. We're going to make sure that we link that up on iSpyRadio.com. Look for today's show page. That is 631, and we'll have lots of information on that. Kamal, unfortunately, we are up against the clock, but we will definitely have to have you back on later in the fall.
Vote, people. If you don't vote, you are helping the enemy to be in charge.
That is absolutely right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Do be sure to check out today's show page on iSpyRadio.com. There are links to Hillary's UN bill that she wants to push, which, just somehow didn't make it into her acceptance speech. Also, there are some great resources from Kamal and Qum Ministries, books and videos, including 13 Lessons on Political Islam, a 2-hour Quran, Islamic Doctrine on Women, and Unveiling the Truth, a DVD that offers solutions with the do's, the don'ts, and the how-to's
on how to reach out to Muslims, featuring the expertise of Kamal Saleem, General Jerry Boykin, and Tom Doyle. Get it for yourself, get it for your family, get it for your church, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.